Good evening. It's always my pleasure to fill this pulpit once a month and bring a lesson from God's Word to you guys. I appreciate the time given to me to do that. I also want to thank Preston. I was supposed to preach 2 weeks ago, and I had a call from Prump that said they didn't have a preacher, so doing what I do, we went to Prump that Sunday, and that's a pretty full day for us, so we don't get back here on Sunday night, so... Preston switched dates with me, and I was giving him a hard time tonight. I said, I looked on the schedule. I said, it looked like your name was on for tonight. He laughed. He said, well, that was a couple weeks ago. So anyway, I'm going to finish up the topic of righteous relationships. Last time I was in this pulpit, we talked about spiritual, social, and personal relationships. Tonight, I want to talk about civic relationships and public relationships. 3 or 4 months ago, I brought a sermon on Is God in Control? And as I studied out for this sermon tonight, I was wishing I would have had some of this passage in that sermon. So this wasn't necessarily an extension of that sermon, but it kind of is. So anyway, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to be in Romans chapter 13. And we'll read the first 7 verses to start with. It reads this way. Let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. I think before we start looking at what all this means, we need to get a definition on what the word authority means. According to the dictionary, authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce ordinances. It's a person or organization having power or control in a particular, typically political sphere. Now, I want to look at this tonight, not only in a political realm, and this is what it was written because the Christians in Rome were having a difficult time and having issues with the Roman government. That's why Paul gave them some instruction. But as I look at this and in my own life, ever since I can remember, we've had political unrest in this country. Going clear back to the 1950s, 60 years ago. Probably it's not going to change, who knows? But we've had that unrest. We've had, since probably 1960 or 70, we've had people on this side and people on this side, kind of a divided country. But this gives us a little bit of an idea how we're supposed to act and react to political. But I also want to take a look at it, and I want you to think about the word authority and what it means. The power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Now, that apply clears down into other things that we have in our life as far as authority is concerned. I think of superintendents of schools. I think of fire chiefs, police chiefs, local government, state government, federal government, heads of companies. All these people are in a place of authority. And I think what Paul has to say to the Christians here in Rome can also apply into our daily lives, more so than just looking at it from the political realm. So as we look at this, we look in verse 1. Paul tells these Christians to be subject to governing authorities. Be under their control. And understand that they are the person of power. They are the one that are making decisions. I also want you to understand that under this authority, we are there up and until it goes against what God has to say that we're supposed to do as Christians, because ultimately God is the overall authority. And I look at that, and I was trying to think of an example, and the best example I could come up with was recently when the pandemic hit. State and local authorities wanted to shut down churches. They even had a ruling out to do that. But that's against what God had to say. And I look at the leaders of this congregation and say, thank you. We kept the doors open. When it came down to we could only have 10 people, we adapted and overcame. We went to 2 services in the morning and a service in the evening so that everyone that wanted to be here could be here. But we did not bow down to that state and city authority that says you have to close your doors. So this government authority that we're talking about is authority that God gives these people, that he puts into office to govern over us in a worldly manner, not in a spiritual manner. In verse 1, it said, be subject to these governing authorities. Be under their control. And also remember, there's no authority except from God. That's where the ultimate authority comes from. These authorities that we talk about, and Paul's talking about here as far as the government is concerned, they're approved and appointed by God. I can remember my dad grumbling about politics. Pretty much everybody I've ever come in contact with grumbles about politics. I'm going to use Daryl for a second. You all have heard me say this. He told me one time, if you say no to doing something in worship service, you're saying no to God. I'm going to interpret this, and I believe Paul meant it this way. If you're going to grumble and complain about politics, you're grumbling and complaining about what God did. Or if you're going to grumble about the police department, the fire department, superintendent of schools, whoever you want to grumble about, you're grumbling about what God did. Because Paul's saying right here in verse 1, these authorities are appointed by God. In verse 2, he goes on a little further and he goes, now whoever resists this authority, whoever talks against it, whoever works against it, whoever is against this authority, ultimately resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment to themselves. Now again, we're talking about a political situation here that Paul's writing to the Christians in Rome. So I want you to understand that, but also be able to apply this into your everyday lives with authority from people that are over you. I use Daryl again, owner of a company. He had the authority to have his employees do what he wanted them to do. And if they talked against that or went out in the parking lot and had conversations, there was consequences for that. Same as we have with any other authority that we're looking at. So Paul's saying don't resist that authority because you're resisting the ordinance of God. And if you do resist it, if you do talk against it, if you do the things against it, then that's going to bring judgment to yourself. Then in verse 3, he goes a little further and explains a little further about what's going on. And he says, rulers are not a terror to good works. They're not going to beat down people that are doing good work. Think about it in your own life again. Bruce, being a teacher, does what the superintendent of schools wants done. The fire chief, the firemen do what the fire chief tells them to do. The policemen do what they police chief tells them to do. If we break the law, the police have the right and the authority to bring judgment to us. But they're in that position because God put them there. They're not a terror to good works, but they are a terror to evil. Evil being things that are not according to what's supposed to be done. And we think about evil in the spiritual realm, that is sin against what God has to say to us. If we think about it in a worldly realm, it's going against what the authority has told us to do. Well, we might not like it all the time, but ultimately that's who we look to, is the man in that has the authority. If you want to be unafraid of authority, you know, we see all this stuff going on, especially with the police department, the police people, and gangs, and people that are constantly in trouble. I don't understand that. If you're going to go looking for trouble, how do you think you're going to stay out of it? It doesn't work that way. If we're going to look for trouble with the government, we'll find it. So if you want to be afraid of that authority that's over us, be it whatever authority you want to talk about, it's real simple. Do what's right. Do what's good. You do that, you'll receive praise from the authority. Think about just here in Las Vegas with the police department and what they go through every day with people that are breaking the law. Every once in a while you hear them thank the ones that are doing the right thing. You'll receive praise from the same. Verse 4, he goes on a little further. He says, for he, the one in authority, is God's minister to you for doing good. If you do evil, if you go against the wishes of the authority, he says, be afraid. There's consequences. He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on those who practice evil. So if you're going to go against the authority, be ready for the consequence. Verse 5. Paul says you must be subject. You must be okay with the authority. You must be under them and be subject to them. And not only because of the wrath that may be imposed, but also for your own conscience. You don't have to feel guilty if you're doing good. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you down the road if you're always doing good. Good people don't get in trouble normally. Once in a while, you get a false accusation against someone that's done good, but that's very seldom. It's the people that are doing things against what the authority says to be done are the ones that get themselves into trouble. So don't just do it for the wrath that's going to come down on you. Do it for your own conscience. And in verse 6, he says, now because of all this, everything we've talked about so far, because of all this, you must pay your taxes. For they, the tax administrators, are God's ministers. I don't know anybody likes to pay taxes. But my dad used to say, old timer out on a farm, if you don't have to pay any taxes, you didn't make any money. If you didn't make any money, things are not good. So be happy you have to pay taxes. We don't like it necessarily, but it sure is better than not having any money and not having any food and knowing that you made a living and you made enough that you can pay some taxes on it. You must pay your taxes, for they are God's ministers. And then in verse 7, Paul kind of sums this up with this type of a relationship. He says, render all that's due. Taxes, to whom the taxes are due. Customs, You travel, you pay customs, taxes, customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear, and then honor to whom honor. That's the basis behind this type of a relationship. I looked at this, and you know, you can bottom line anything. So, the bottom line on this, just stay out of trouble and do good. Do what we're supposed to do. If you're under someone's authority, do what they want to do. We have a choice. I'll use Bruce as an example here. If he doesn't like the authority of the superintendent, he doesn't have to stay in the public schools. That's his choice. But if you're going to be there, then accept that authority. Those of us that are still working have bosses. If you don't like the boss, or you're going to go against the boss, then go find another job. But if you're going to stay there, do what the boss asks you to do. If we're going to remain to be Christians, we need to do what God continues to ask us to do. If we're going to be under the federal government rules, then we need to do what the federal government sets out for us to do. The other relationship I want to talk about is public relationships. Let's read verse 8 to the end of the chapter. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this, saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now, I sat in class this morning and I poked Peg and I said, Bruce is all over the end of my sermon. But that's okay. There's a lot to be said about public relationship and how we get along with others. In verse 8, Paul says in verse 8, owe no one anything. That's kind of the first way to get along with everybody. You ever loan money to a family member and never get it back? I have. If I expected it back, it upsets me. So I finally got to the point where if someone asked me for money, I'd tell them I won't loan it to you, I'll give it to you. Then you and I don't have to worry about you paying it back to me. But it says here, don't owe anybody anything. And it also says to love one another. And it also says if you do that, he who loves fulfills the law. It really doesn't matter which law you want to look at here, the old law or the new law. If you're loving one another, you're fulfilling that law. Verse 9, it says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment. Paul's always good about adding a little thing onto the end to cover himself up in case there is something else that he forgot about. So if there is any other commandment, they're all summed up. Simply, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we talked about loving yourself at the beginning of the last sermon I did. And it comes down to this. If you don't love yourself, you can't have a righteous relationship with anything else. That's the starting point. And Paul's saying right here, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't love yourself, it's going to be pretty hard to expect you to love the neighbor. The neighbor being those around you, not necessarily the one next door to you. We, as we sit in this congregation, are neighbors one to another. We're to love one another. The commandments I'm not going to go over tonight because we just did it in class this morning. But these commandments are not really spelled out in the New Testament as such as they were in the Old Testament. Because if you take the word love and strictly adhere to it, you don't need the Ten Commandments. You're not going to steal. You're not going to murder. You're not going to covet. You're not going to do all these things to other people if you have that love that's being talked about here or throughout the New Testament. It's just not going to happen. So owe no one anything. Love one another, and he who loves fulfills the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, Paul goes a little further here. He gets kind of simple with everybody. He says, love does no harm. What's the harm in showing love to one another? Therefore, love, again, is the fulfillment of law. Then he says in verse 11, do this. All right? I'm suggesting all that. Now do this. Knowing the time, that time is high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to go to work. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Paul has told us in other scriptures that we're living in the last days. Yes, we are. Those are the days since Christ hung on the cross. But the time is near. We don't know when Christ is coming. We don't, you know, put a definition on what Paul's saying about here with this word near. I don't have any idea what he's speaking about in terms of time. But we're near. The time is near. Now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The time for salvation is now. We hear that at the end of sermons when we issue the invitation. Now is the time. Paul's saying the end days are here. He's also saying that it's nearer than we might think. In verse 12, he says, cast off works of darkness. Get rid of them. What are works of darkness? Those are things contrary to God. Those are things that are contrary, back to the first one, to the authority. Cast off those works of darkness. Get rid of the sin in your life. And do what? Put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of good. I believe it's Ephesians chapter 6 that talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Put on the armor of light. Get rid of the stuff over here. And verse 13, a little further instruction as to how we do this. We walk properly as in the day. What does it mean to walk properly? It means to let your light shine. Mm-hmm. It means to walk as Jesus walked. He walked on this earth to give us an example. Why do we fight with that example? I don't have an answer to that. But Paul says walk properly as in the day. And then he gives some examples. He said not in revelry and drunkenness. Not in those. Not in lewdness and lust. Not in strife and envy. Those are some examples that he uses. And if you look at these six words, just about anything you want to put on out in the world will fall into one of those six words. He said, don't do those. And I'll sum it up back in verse 14. Paul sums it up very well. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Just don't even let it get in there. Make no provision for evil to get into your life. How do you do that? You go back into God's word. You study. 2 Timothy 2:15 and following. Study. Show yourself approved. Be the workman that you're supposed to be. But this relationship we're talking about all comes down to one word, and it's love. If we have love for one another, we don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were good when God gave them to Moses. They served a purpose. But in New Testament times, with God's grace and not having to be perfect as you will, the word love falls in here. That'll make us perfect. So put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Relationships are important to us. I don't know anybody that likes to be disliked. I know people that like to go against authority. I know people that don't like to do what they're being asked to do. I've had issues with some of that with my kids. But Paul lays out a pretty easy line to follow to stay in those types of relationships. The lesson's yours tonight. We always issue an invitation. I talked about now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to put your Lord on in baptism if no one has done that. Tonight, the water's ready. The baptistry's ready. We would be more than happy to accommodate you. If there are those in the auditorium that might need prayers of this congregation for whatever reason, if you'd let that be made known, we also will take care of that and pray for you and pray with you that you might overcome the issues you have. With all that in mind, we'll stand and sing the invitation song.